First, I would like to welcome the devotees who just arrived yesterday. Coming all the way from the island of Mauritius. We are just beginning the month of Kartik or Damodar. Dhamma means to be bound, and odara means the stomach, belly. So Damodar is the form of Krishna that was bound by the ropes of Mother Yasoda around his waist. There's also Radha Damodar. There's one pastime where Krishna married Radharani in the forest, so he was also bound around the waist. So we shall read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9. Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna. Text 19. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Evam Sandarshita Yanga Harina Britya Vasyata Sa Vasena Bikrishnena Yasedam Seshwaram Vashe. Please repeat. Evam.
Evam.
In this manner.
In this manner.
Sandarshita.
Sandarshita.
Was exhibited.
Was exhibited.
He.
He.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Anga.
Anga.
O Maharaj Parikshit.
O Maharaj Parikshit.
Harina.
Harina.
By the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
By the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Vashya.
Vashya.
His transcendental quality.
His transcendental quality.
Of becoming subordinate.
Of becoming subordinate.
To his servitor or devotee.
To his servitor or devotee.
Savashena.
Savashena.
Who is within the control only of his own self.
Who is within the control of his own self.
Api.
Api.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Krishnena.
Krishnena.
By Krishna.
By Krishna.
Yasya.
Yasya.
Of whom.
Of whom.
Idam.
Idam.
The whole universe.
The whole universe.
Sa Ishwaram.
Sa Ishwaram.
With the powerful demigods.
With the powerful demigods.
Such as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma.
Such as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma.
Vashe.
Vashe.
Under the control.
Under the control.
Translation. O Maharaj Parikshit, this entire universe with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This pastime of Krishna's is very difficult to understand. but devotees can understand it. It is therefore said, Darshayam Tadvidam Loka Atmano Bhaktavashyatam, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.11.9. The Lord displays the transcendental attribute of coming under the control of his devotees. As stated in the Brahma Sanghita 5.35, A kopyaso rachaitum jagadandako tim yachchaktir asti jagadanda chayadanta andantarasta paramanupchayantarastam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. By his one plenary portion as Paramatma, the Lord controls innumerable universes with all their demigods. Yet, he agrees to be controlled by a devotee. In the Upanishads, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can run with more speed than the mind. But here we see that although Krishna wanted to avoid being arrested by his mother, he was finally defeated and Mother Yashoda captured him. Lakshmi Sahasrashata Sambrahma Sevyamanam. Krishna is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Nonetheless, he steals butter like one who is poverty-stricken. Yamaraj, the controller of all living entities, fears the order of Krishna. Yet Krishna is afraid of his mother's stick. These contradictions cannot be understood by one who is not a devotee. But a devotee can understand how powerful is unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. It is so powerful that Krishna can be controlled by an unalloyed devotee. This Britya Vashyata does not mean that he is under the control of the servant. Rather, he is under the control of the servant's pure love. In Bhagavad Gita 1.21, it is said that Krishna became the chariot driver of Arjuna. Arjuna ordered him, Senayor Veor Madhye Ratam Stapaya Mechuta. My dear Krishna, you have agreed to be my charioteer and to execute my orders. Please place my chariot between the two armies of soldiers. Krishna immediately executed this order. And therefore, one may argue that Krishna is not independent. But this is one's, again, ignorance. Krishna is always fully independent. When he becomes subordinate to his devotees, this is a display of Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, the humor of transcendental qualities that increases his transcendental pleasure. Everyone worships Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he sometimes desires to be controlled by someone else. Such a controller can be no one else but a pure devotee. Translation again. O Maharaj Parikshit, this entire universe with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and Lord Indra is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. Probably most of you know the story of Mother Yashoda binding Lord Krishna with ropes. so I will not repeat it. I will just discuss the point mentioned in the verse and purport here, that Krishna allows himself to come under the control of his devotee, or under the control of the love of his devotee. As Srila Prabhupada mentioned, sometimes Krishna wants to be in the position of servant. He doesn't always want to be in the position of master. But of whom will he become the servant? Under whom will he be controlled? Only under the pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada told the story of Lord Gladstone, who was the Prime Minister of England, that once someone went to meet him, and the person was told to wait outside the office. So the person waited and waited, and after some time, he became impatient. He wanted to know what was occupying the Prime Minister. So he opened the door to the chamber, and there he saw the great Prime Minister of the whole British Empire on the floor, on his hands and knees, with his grandson riding on his back and commanding him like a horse, get up, get up, go here, go there. So even though he was the great Prime Minister of the British Empire, for some time he wanted to forget that he was the Prime Minister, and so he became a horse to be controlled by his grandson. Of course, he wasn't really under the control of his grandson, but he enjoyed playing the part of a horse to be controlled by the grandson. So in the same way, Krishna takes pleasure in reciprocating with his devotees. And in the exchange of love between Krishna and his devotees, he forgets that he is God. And they also forget, like the grandson, he wasn't thinking that, oh, my grandfather is the Prime Minister of the British Empire. He was just enjoying. And similarly, Lord Gladstone, he also forgot temporarily that he was the Prime Minister, and he just enjoyed playing with the grandson. So on the level of pure love, which is found in Vrindavan and nowhere else, there is complete freedom and intimacy between the Lord and the devotees. And that is the special significance of the Damodar Lila, as described in the Damodar Astakam, that Lord Krishna exhibited the Damodar Lila to show the world that he comes under the control of the pure love of his devotees, and that such pure loves manifest only in Vrindavan, not even in Vaikuntha, where the Lord is worshipped in awe and reverence, but only in Vrindavan. And as we discussed on Saturday, as Srila Prabhupada stated in the purport that we read, that such consciousness cannot develop all of a sudden, but it develops gradually through sadhana. And therefore, if we want to actually enter into the transcendental pastimes of Krishna on the platform of pure love, we must follow the process of sadhana. Srila Prabhupada has translated Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which explains the science of Bhakti Yoga, and he has taken the most important elements from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and introduced them in the regular programs of ISKCON. If one goes through the list of 64 items of devotional service and analyzes the regular daily program that Srila Prabhupada gave us, he will be surprised by how many of the 64 items have been included. And certainly all of the most important ones have been included. And if we follow strictly the process of sadhana bhakti, we will gradually come to the stage of pure love. Therefore, we must be careful to always chant our 16 rounds, that is first and foremost, follow the regulative principles. Of course, the basic, no eating meat, fish, or eggs, but really to eat only Krishna prasad, food that is offered to Krishna, and no intoxication, no coffee or tea, but to speak of other things, cigarettes and so on, no illicit sex and no gambling, and to rise early in the morning. If one is fortunate to live in the temple or close to the temple, attend Mangal Arati, sing the Nisringa prayers, worship Tulsi Devi, chant in the association of devotees, offer Guru Puja to Srila Prabhupada, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. All of the most important items are contained within the morning program. After listing the 64 items, Srila Rupa Goswami enumerates five that are the most powerful among them. Namakirtana, chanting the holy names, Bhagavat Shravanam, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sadhu Sangha, associating with more advanced devotees, Murti Shradanvita Seva, serving the deity with respect and veneration, faith and attraction. And again, if one is not able to directly worship the deity, if one joins the congregation that is present for the worship of the deity, that also counts as worship of the deity. And Mathura Vasa, residing in a holy place like Mathura, Vrindavan, or the temple, residing in the temple, spending time in the temple. These are the five most potent forms of devotional service. And Srila Rupa Goswami says that they are so powerful that even with a slight association with any one of them, one can awaken ecstatic love for Krishna. Provided one does not commit offenses. The program itself is so powerful, the processes are so powerful that in and of themselves they have the power to awaken ecstatic love for Krishna very quickly. So the question arises, why am I not experiencing such ecstatic love for Krishna? And the answer is because we commit offenses. And the worst offense is to offend devotees, to criticize devotees. And when we allow ourselves to fall into such unfortunate activities, we become implicated in offenses, sadhu ninda, Vaishnava aparad, and that very severely hampers our spiritual progress. So even though we engage in such potent devotional activities, we don't get the result. And in fact, the result of such offenses is that we lose our taste for spiritual practices, and then we may even decrease our practices. So Srila Prabhupada has given us the most authorized and potent process based on the revealed scriptures, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which in itself is based on other Vedic literatures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and various scriptures. But we have to follow it, and at the same time take care not to commit offenses. Then we will become so purified and so ecstatic in devotional service that we will actually be able to see the pastimes of Krishna. Like the author of Damodarastakam prays, he has no desire, he just wants to see the childhood pastimes of Krishna. Doesn't want any kind of opulence, he doesn't want liberation, he doesn't want even Vaikuntha, he just wants to see the beautiful childhood pastimes of Krishna. And that is possible for each and every one of us if we just follow the process that Srila Prabhupada has given us with faith and without offense. Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions or comments? Yes.
How can we guard ourselves from being offensive? We are placed in some position of responsibility, and sometimes there's a fine line between correcting and offending. Sometimes it can get a bit clouded and we may not know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there is a need to set something straight.
That is a good question. Sometimes a person who is in a position of authority has to correct another person. So how can we avoid committing offenses in such a situation? Well, the main element in Krishna consciousness in general is the attitude of the devotee. If one one worships Krishna with love and devotion, Krishna will appreciate it, even if there's some technical defect in one's service. And the same would apply to our relationships with other devotees or our service to other devotees. What is our attitude? Are we in the mood of being the servant and helping the other devotee in service to Srila Prabhupada? Are we in the mood of being the controllers and the proprietors and the enjoyers? So, you know, if we're actually in the mood of humble service to the other devotees, then even if we have to correct them, if they are sincere and without ulterior motives, then they should recognize it and cooperate. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to cooperate. He wanted us to follow our authorities. But he also wanted the authorities to be spiritually strong, you know, following the basic program of 16 rounds and four principles and so on, and to be in the mood of humble service. And there will not be any offense. And even if some devotee takes offense out of false ego, you know, if the atmosphere is one of love and trust, then the devotee who feels offended should come to his senses or her senses and realize actually he was just trying to do his service. He was just trying to follow his superior. He was just trying to do what's best for the mission, and I shouldn't have gotten upset. And both ways, the devotee can come and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have gotten upset. Or could say, I'm sorry, I upset you, I didn't mean to, but I'm just, you know, trying to help the devotees keep to the proper standard.
Right, if you commit offense in your mind, when you realize the mistake and you want to rectify it and ask for forgiveness, can you also just do that in your mind? And then, or do you have to actually go further?
He says, if you commit an offense in your mind, can you rectify it within your mind, or do you just have to go further? Well, in the negative sense in which you phrase the question, you could rectify it within the mind. But the positive side is there. I mean, the negative side is, okay, I shouldn't find fault with devotees. So I find a fault with a devotee in my mind, and then I catch myself and I chastise myself and I try to rectify my mentality. Well, that's okay on the negative side, but the positive side is we should appreciate devotees, we should glorify devotees, we should serve devotees. So even though in the negative sense you could say that you've freed yourself from the offense within the mind, but really you should be more positive and, you know, make a conscious effort to, you know, appreciate the devotees and serve them. And maybe you don't have to go up to the person and say, I had a negative thought about you, but I caught myself. But you can maybe make an extra effort to show appreciation for the person or help the person in service. All right, we'll end the class. Now, I'm not sure how many more chances we'll get to meet in this visit. So if you want to ask any other question that's not specifically related to the class, you can.
Guru, I have a question. Like, after so many years, 7 years or so, we have not been able to see Guru Maharaj. It applies to all of us. So now you are here and we see like how, you know, the Durban Yatra, you know, properly and very enthusiastically at all levels, beginning from topmost sannyasi, with all the devotees, and we Mauritian devotees also join in somehow other, you know.
Well, you should just stay here.
So how do you, of course, I don't know whether I should ask this question, so how do you took it and reciprocated and your feeling, I don't know if you could say that to us, because joyfully from the core of our heart, we just extended everything to your divine grace. And especially for us, like Mauritian devotees, to come for the big festival, Srila Prabhupada, the 30th anniversary of coming here, 20th year of the opening of the Durban Temple, although perfectly performed. But our purpose, to be honest and frank, your mother Prabhupada, if you excuse me a bit, we came especially for Guru Maharaj.
You just committed a maha apparatus.
I know that. But it's just the heart is it's stuck there, so I just wanted to express. I know it's an orphan.
Well, His Holiness the Dumna Maharaj said that this whole festival was an excuse to get Guru Maharaj here.
So in the name of the Mauritian devotees, and I'm speaking on your behalf, maybe you already said that, right? So we thank Indradumya Swami Maharaj very, very much, and your very good doctor, what's his name?
Srivallabh. Srivallabh.
Oh, Srivallabh. Oh, the good doctor. Thank you very much.
Arriba!
There's a few good doctors.
Yeah. Prabhupada, having you here, so we extend our very, very, the four words we learned from Guru Maharaj. Remember what are the four words?
Thank you very much.
Well, that's good. Appreciating the devotees. That's good. Very good. Actually, you heard those words from me, but I heard them from Srila Prabhupada. That's the parampara here.